It was a very emotional moment for me, honestly. I think I had thousands of emotions when they called my name. But, you know, to get to do it with this team and where we're at, or where I am in my career and what we are capable of and what we can do, just to be a part of that is special. And to be able to do it with this group, it was cool. So it was very nice to do it in front of the team. It was a small dinner. It was a tight group. And it was emotional, for sure.
New Sabres captain Rasmus Dahlin.
Yes. That
right
video,
call?
That video legitimately wanted to make me run through a wall with Josh Allen narrating
yep.
it. Like, what a media team A-plus right there for that.
Media team does a pretty good job, actually, when it comes to both of the
and making fun of themselves
teams.
At times.
Yeah.
Like, they don't take themselves too seriously.
The Bills victory posts are just unhinged, and I love it.
Yeah.
I don't understand half of it, but I love it.
I used to make those for fun, just, you know, bleak posts, if you will. Yeah, yeah, like just, memes.
Memes.
It's because Josh Allen's so in-depth with the memes, I feel like. You gotta have to if you're the media team.
But also, when it comes to it, Dahlin the captain, right call?
Oh, yeah.
I'd say so.
I think Tuck
the one that a lot of people were thinking about here, but I do think that it is supposed to, like, he is supposed to be the franchise cornerstone, so to say, and it's another step in the evolution of his game because there's still a chance for it to keep growing. Tuck, I would say for the most part, is who he is. He is a very solid top six contributor and capable of being a first line winger on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a little bit of the, you know, the Buffalo pride to him as well. It's just, I think when it comes to it, I guess optics-wise, like, you know, a player being drafted into the organization and being here from the first step, and I don't know. But also, Dahlin does have that intensity to him that I think that should be of a captain. I think it's the right call. I don't think it would have been a bad call to make Tuck the captain either. It's just, hey, you know what? You really couldn't have messed up on this one, I think.
No, I think you had a lot of good options. Tuck definitely was a thought in the forefront of a lot of people's minds, but I agree. I think Dahlin has been here longer. He's Tuck, don't get me wrong, he's gonna have an A, I believe.
Oh, yeah,
he's gonna be in the leadership committee, if you will.
Oh, yeah, easily.
But Dahlin, I think, was the right call at the end of the day, and that's not saying something might not change, but I think Dahlin will stay captain for the rest of his tenure on the Sabres. I mean, it makes the most sense, you know. He is a leader on the defense. He's their all-star player on the defense, right?
He's
not afraid to get down and dirty and win a game. Like, that's, you want that grit in a captain.
He has, like you said, the tenacity. He does have all of it there. He is the complete package.
Mm-hmm.
And he's growing into being one of the best defenders in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, in the NHL. And that's not a slight at Tuck or any of the other guys that are qualified for this. But I think Dahlin does edge him out a little bit here.
Yes. So, when it comes to this team, though, what are your expectations going into this year? Because it's much different than it was last year. Last year it was hype abound, coming off of the 93-point season, and like having a legitimate chance of making the playoffs, and you missed it by 1 point to the eventual Eastern Conference champions. This year, I mean, expectations are very much still supposed to be there, but the hype is not, and that has to do with the struggles and inconsistencies of last season. The power play in particular, how does that look? And if they can change it, if they can fix the key philosophy on that of not being too predictable, which is something that Lindy Ruff and Seth Appert had both publicly stated, changing the power play philosophies around, making sure that they're moving around more, being more unpredictable, and getting into the dirty areas, collecting those garbage goals. Because on the power play, they don't ask how. They just ask how many. And through the second half of the season 2 years ago and all throughout last season, they were a very predictable bunch, and the penalty kill did not have to move. One of the big things of beating a penalty kill is getting them out of position, because you have less players, you have to be more disciplined. You have to be where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the key about outnumbering them is to get them to panic, get them to move. And if you can do that, that's the best. That's the teams that do it the best. And it was never put more on blast than when Bowen Byram got here after the trade deadline, mm-hmm. from being traded with Casey Mittelstadt. starts skating around and gets very confused and out of position twice on the same power play. No, on the same evening with two different power plays. He had this happen. Because he was used to a team that was moving around. And I like Don Granato as a person. I really do. He's a gem of a human being. Love the man. But the power play did him in. And it was...
Yeah, it was bad.
It's unfortunate. Because...
They weren't moving.
They weren't moving. They were very predictable. And once you figured... Once teams figured it out that they were going to the... Going to the right or the left wing with the one-timer. Well, that was it. Because then you didn't have to move. Get them going. Get the penalty killers moving because that's how you beat them. As Brian mentioned, the bottom six. McLeod, Greenway, Zucker, Malenstein, Lafferty, Abe Kubel. Krebs will rotate in. That looks like a much faster bottom six. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with McLeod, Lafferty, Malenstein, like those guys charted analytically as some of the fastest skaters in the entire National Hockey League. You got speed amongst speed. You got a guy that sometimes outbursts Connor McDavid. Like that's dope. That's huge.
Yeah.
And the big thing is, and Kevin Adams is putting his job on this, that there's a rebound from these guys that had their down year. And the presence of Jack Quinn being there for an entire season being helpful. Hopefully, they're able to get this going here because, like, Tage Thompson, I think it really had to do with more of his health, not being in the lineup consistently, and the power play struggles. I think once the power play gets fixed a little bit, like Brian said, he could threaten 40 again and should. Paterka looks like one of the best players on the ice.
Oh, yeah, he does. And that's crazy. I mean, I'm so excited to see him kind of blowing up.
Watching him play in Rochester and growing into what he's been growing into, it was very predictable that he'd have a little bit of a breakout campaign last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'd expect more of the same. Like, now just tie it in consistently. If he can do that, you've got a star on your hands. So much so that they broke up Quinn and Paterka. Because those two were the dynamos in Rochester together.
Yeah, they did.
But now you broke them up because Paterka has been playing so well. And he seems like he's a natural fit anywhere because he has those flashes of speed. Here we go again. But also, the skill's there.
You're right.
And Zach Benson, how can you not like that guy?
Yeah, Zach Benson, I'm really excited about. I mean, he showed out and made an NHL roster in his first season.
At 18, you have the tenacity to be going at it with NHLers on a consistent basis.
And he's feisty about it, too.
Have heinous penalty calls against you and still have that dog in you and that motor.
Yeah, he's ready.
He was the feistiest guy on the team at times, a lot of times last year, and he's the kid.
Right, and he's exciting to watch.
And you had, oh my God, he had some of the dumbest penalties called against him last year. I'll never forget that.
He did. That was
my favorite was him getting called for holding when the Panthers defender hauls him down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
Right. He's thinking in his head, I bet. You know,
yeah, like, I drew a penalty. Guy, let's whatever. Go.
Yeah, like.
Like, but then what? I'm going to the box too? Why? Like, that was some of the wildest stuff. Zach Benson penalty calls. Decor, I think, is overall better.
Yeah. Like,
having Samuelson back will be key. If he's able to stick in the lineup and not have the injury woes come back against him, you're able to have a little more consistency. I do think that... I think Jacob Bryson should be in this lineup regularly.
Yeah.
But it's hard for an NHL team to convince themselves to go five lefties and one righty.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's very hard to do that. And... So in that sense, that's why Clifton is going to stay in the lineup. That's fine, but it is what it is at the end of the day. For once, we're not questioning goalies, which is weird. Last year, that was the biggest thing. And the guy that everyone least expected to be the star was the guy in UPL.
Yeah, the most hot and cold goaltender the season before. He'd put up games like that, but he'd come tumbling down.
He'd come tumbling down, give up like five or six.
Yeah, and then he just puts it together. And I'm like, whoa, okay.
Yeah. We don't have a question about goalies because, okay, Devin Levi's the backup. Let's go. Done. And as Brian mentioned, James Reimer has not played a single moment in a Buffalo Sabres uniform throughout the preseason. And I'm perfectly okay with that. Fine by me. I'm excited in a different sense this year.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is the way to say it.
I'm excited for the, I mean, I wouldn't say unknown at this point because you've seen how they're going to play in the preseason a lot, right?
They want to play with speed. And you know what that does? That gives something that my generation knows a lot about. Nostalgia. Nostalgia. That's why there's nothing original in media these days. Because people my age are creating these things, and it's like, hey, remember this? We're going to bring it back. No. Stop. Stop leaning into nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
But no, instead, it's about a different kind of nostalgia. Last time the Sabres had this kind of speed with Lindy Ruff behind the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that nostalgia feeling's coming back, baby.
It is. And it's not Marv Levy running the Bills front office nostalgia. This feels real.
This is a guy who just won the Jack Adams 2 years ago, running a team with speed in Buffalo.
And a lot of young and raw talent.
In Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happened the last time that happened? Well, the Sabres made the Eastern Conference Finals a couple times with a less-than-heralded squad with tons of speed rolling four lines. I'm not going ahead and predicting that that's what's going to happen with this team. But I am willing to say I am excited because of the coaching change philosophy, the overall synergy, I think, when it comes to what the general manager did for the coach.
Yeah.
You didn't really have a lot of that. And I think in years past, regimes past, Botterill did not do that very well when it came to being synergistic with his coaches. Or those coaches wore out their welcome and the acquisitions that were meant for them had a bad fit with everything else. Most notably to me, I remember Brandon Montour. Montour was acquired basically as a Housley guy. Speedy, mobile defenseman, guy who can move the puck around and carry it. And then Housley gets canned.
Yeah. Oh, good God.
So now you have a square peg and round hole problem, except all of them were round holes because of a coach I'm not going to name.
I don't think, better
not saying his name.
Yeah.
But I'm excited in a different sense, and it's more or less like the nostalgia factor's there, but also because the GM actually made moves that coincide with the vision. You want to play aggressively and with speed?
Okay.
We're going to get four of the fastest skaters onto this team that were not on this team.
Mm-hmm. See, the only question I have about the speed is Jordan Greenway.
You've got to have players. Guys to move
to
around.
You have to have a bruiser, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can't just have all speed.
And Zucker, even though he's not a spring chicken, still has the wheels.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, almost the entire bottom six, except for Greenway, they can move. These guys are motors.
They can.
That's the part that's really exciting to me. And, of course, they can probably do the usual thing where I get kicked in the groin about 3 months later. And we'll revisit that. We can totally put a pin in this.
Yeah, because I think it's a good conversation. I think just the excitement of the season in general is ringing through us. It's ringing through the station, Sabres fans, everyone alike. And even non-Sabres fans. I see a lot more people being interested in like, hey, what are these, partial season ticket memberships?
Despite everything that happened last year.
Yeah.
The prospects tournament was stuffed.
Does not, yeah.
Of course. Preseason game back on Monday. I wonder why that one wasn't full.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not a surprise at all.
I'm just excited. I don't think there's really anything to not be excited about. I think, I think there's, they almost have, not reckless, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it feels like they can roll with it quite a bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we'll hit a couple callers here. Get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We got to move fast because we got Sal Capaccio coming up in a couple minutes here. Mark and Tonawanda, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. How you doing?
Hey, good man. Thanks for having me on. Just real quick, I love the topic, and I'm normally pretty cynical, especially when it comes to Buffalo sports. But I agree. I'm pretty optimistic, and the reason for that is I think Lindy Ruff is kind of in a position where he's got nothing to lose. And I mean, he's an old coach. He's at the end of his coaching, you know, road, and he's going to look at guys. Maybe they get, for example, an Owen Power. Like, if he's not going to block shots, if he's not going to hit people, finish his checks, you know what? You're going to sit down. And I really don't care what Kevin Adams says, because what is he going to do? Fire me? Okay, you know, I'll go on the beach with my family. Like, it doesn't matter. I think he's playing, he's coaching, he's got nothing to lose, and I love it. And that's the reason why I'm optimistic for this upcoming season. I'm going to have to listen to you boys. Thanks.
Mark, appreciate it. Thanks for the call. I think Owen Power is going to be fine, and I think Lindy Ruff will find something there too, because mm-hmm. he had a big skater before that wasn't throwing the body around. His name was Tyler Myers. He won a Calder Trophy.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's chances that he's fine.
He's got it absolutely right. That's what I was trying to get to, the nothing to lose.
Nothing
almost.
To lose, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Bobby in Niagara Falls, we got to go quick here. How you doing?
I will go real quick. My buddy's mad. He said he's not going to watch the Sabres anymore because he said, why did they hire Lindy? They fired him because he was losing. I'm a big fan of Lindy. So answer my buddy. Tell him where he's wrong. Thanks very much.
Bobby, I appreciate it. And I can say it like this, matter-of-factly. Ready? He won the Jack Adams 2 years ago. It's not like he's out of touch.
No. And he's good with young, fast offenses. And even, that's exactly what this
but
team
it's
is.
Even, ready? He coached the New Jersey Devils to an incredible season 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And got fired last year because
their goaltending
was terrible, and Tom Fitzgerald doesn't know how to build a roster from the back end.
Exactly.
That's all it is. All right, we got to go. Shifting the gears to the Bills coming up next. Sal Capaccio, before he flies out, by the way, what a guy. So we got to get him in here as soon as possible here. Sal Capaccio coming up next on WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, yes. Now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Ooh, man, it's been a while since I heard the make a capaccio open.
I like it.
But the Sal signal is up here on the West Shore Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins us here on a Sports Talk Saturday. Bills en route to Baltimore, and so is our guy Sal. Sal, thanks for taking the time that you could squeeze in to join us here today.
Oh, you got it, man. We got a little baseball today, fall baseball. Got some football this weekend. Boys got hockey starting this weekend as well. I mean, we're in that time period where, like, all of the sports are happening, right?
All of it's going on here, and like we were saying something with this with Howard before the show.
yeah.
UB pulls off a top 25 win.
Yep.
And we've got the Sabres yet to lose in preseason. Bills are 3-0, hoping to get to 4-0. Things are looking nice here, Sal.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice start to the year, of course, right? You don't know exactly, you know, how the Sabres are going to do in the regular season, and you like the wins in the preseason, but, you know, it's just preseason. But it's always good to feel good about them and see what they're doing. And nice win for UB. I know they're playing right now over in the Bet 1520. I was just listening to them. I know they're down 3-0. I don't know what the score is right now. They were down 3-0 when I was listening earlier, but nice to see that win. All we need is Syracuse now to get a win against Holy Cross to atone for last Friday night's loss against Stanford.
All right, there we go. Mm-hmm. We've got it all on the docket here, Sal, and let's go to the Bills. 3-0. They're winning impressively and in different ways almost on a weekly basis here, Sal. It just goes to show that something I said last week about the quote-unquote same old Bills, possibly a dreadful sentence in the likes of January, but when it comes to the regular season, they continue to be one of the best football teams that there is in recent memory.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a testament, obviously, to, you know, how they prepare each and every week, the consistency. The one thing I've always said about Sean McDermott and his staff and the way they prepare is they're so consistent. I think they have the NFL record now for most consecutive games without losing by more than one score, whether that's a win or a loss by, you know, a score or less. I think they have the NFL record now, and that just they're super, super hard to beat even when they lose, right? I mean, you have to go back to, I think the last time was that Indianapolis game at home when they got beaten pretty badly and blown out. But, you know, when you are going to be in every game no matter what, you always have a chance to win. And then when you have Josh Allen on your team, of course, that even enhances itself. And for them to start off this year 3-0, given the schedule, we all looked at and said, ooh, that is a tough six-game stretch. I mean, look, they've given themselves a little buffer here. Could they be 3-3 after another 3 weeks? Of course they could. They have a tough three-game road trip coming up. But just to be 3-0 right now and where they're sitting, I think is a very big surprise to a lot of people, but probably not the people inside One Bills Drive.
Sal, of course, you mentioned the six-game gauntlet here, and it continues here with Baltimore, a team that is not off to the start that they would have liked, a toe away from beating Kansas City in the opener. They looked very unimpressive in week two, and then they had to, again, stop themselves from a collapse from a double-digit lead against Dallas. It's a team that the Bills have also had the number of for the past couple of years, anytime that these two teams have squared off. One of the big things being how Sean McDermott and that defense is able to contain Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, they've had a really good plan against him. And, you know, there's one thing to have a plan. I think every team has a plan, right? You try to have a plan. And every coaching staff does. These people work very hard at their craft and their job. But to have your players actually execute that plan, follow that plan, and be disciplined enough to follow that plan, especially against a player like Lamar Jackson, who is so dynamic and can make you do so many things and fool you so much, right, by whether that's in the backfield and how he kind of can manipulate whether he's running or throwing the ball and then, sure enough, escaping. But they've done a really good job of staying disciplined. They've done a really good job of, you know, making sure they're in the right spot at the right time to make the play, and hasn't always been perfect. But if you look at Lamar's numbers against the Bills, I think the most he's thrown for is 162 yards in that playoff game it was a couple years ago against the Bills, and he was knocked out of that game, obviously. I think he did run for like 70-something yards one time, but he hasn't really killed the Bills. And when they have lost to the Ravens, when they did lose a few years ago, obviously, a little bit different. That was, I think, 2019. There were some times where, you know, he got loose, and that's going to happen. But you have to make sure you just kind of live to fight another down and make sure you don't allow them to have the big play, and they've done a really good job of that.
So it's not only Lamar Jackson that the Bills have to worry about containing, it's now Derrick Henry. And I just, whenever I hear Derrick Henry, I think of the infamous Josh Norman stiff arm out of bounds. Do you see the Bills defense being able to handle the added, I guess, task of handling the shifty Lamar Jackson running ability and the just powerhouse of Derrick Henry?
Well, listen, I mean, they're going to have to handle him, right? It's going to be a very tough job for everybody involved. But this is when you just say you have to be super physical, you have to really rely on your fundamentals, and you have to really have gap integrity. Those are such coaching cliches. I understand that. I get it. But that's truly what it is for all of this. It's staying with your fundamentals, understanding how you have to, you know, make sure you are in the right position to give yourself a chance to make the play. And the only way you can do that is by not being out of position. But then when he comes downhill, you have to be physical, you have to be a willing participant, and you have to be able to bring him down and tackle him. Look, if they can have every gap covered, especially those A and B gaps in the middle, and force him to just go lateral, to try and go off tackle, to try and get outside, that's a win for the Bills. Derrick Henry can maybe get to the outside once in a while and break off a run for a little bit of chunk. But at the same time, if you can force him to do that, that's going against what they want to do with him, and that's not the part of his game that's his best attribute. His best attribute is running downhill. You want to make sure he's not able to do that.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Westura Hotline. Sal, the Bills injury report, it's looking a little bit more promising. Of course, no Taron Johnson, no Terrell Bernard for this game, but also we're seeing Bernard coming back to practice, a sign that he might be coming back sooner than even we had expected with that injury. How's the Bills' bill of health, so to say?
Well, we know Bernard and Johnson are out. That's right. And that's going to hurt them, obviously, in this game. Anytime you're losing two really, really terrific players, an All-Pro and Taron Johnson, obviously a terrific middle linebacker, and Terrell Bernard, that hurts. But, you know, so far, Baylen Specter has played really well. Cam Lewis, Jamarcus Ingram, whoever's been having to fill in, has played really well. But another game here where this is going to be a test for Baylen Specter, and Dorian Williams is filling in for Matt Milano and everybody else. They are out of the game. Kyer Elam, good news on him that he was a full participant at practice yesterday. He has a neck injury, so that's good news, obviously. And listen, great news to get Terrell Bernard at least back at practice. He was practicing this week. He did practice. He is ruled out of the game, but that's a really good sign, optimistic sign for next week.
Now, Sal, just game script thoughts, right? We saw week one, Allen had the cape on. Week two, the running game and the defense took it. In week three, it was a pretty collaborative effort with Allen throwing. It wasn't a full-on him hurtling people over people into the end zone performance. But where do you see this game script lining up? I'm kind of feeling where it's Arizona, the running with James Conner and Kyler Murray's availability to scramble. Is that where do you see the game script going for the Bills offense?
Yeah, if you look at the Ravens' defense, they've been really, really excellent against the run. Now, some of that is circumstantial, the yards against the run versus yards against the pass, because teams have had to come back, and they have, as you mentioned, Dallas, the Raiders, you know, in the fourth quarter. So some of those yards are because of those reasons. But they are number one in the league in rushing yards given up. They are, however, 30th in the league in passing yards per game given up and 28th in passing yards per play. They've also, guys, given up 16 pass plays of 20 or more yards. That is the most in the league. I think there's opportunity for the Bills to get big passing plays here. That might be run after catch, which the Bills have done very well, and the Ravens actually are one of the teams that have allowed a lot of run after catch yards this year. That could also be just down the field. I talked with Sean Stepner. He used to be here in Buffalo. Now he's out in Baltimore covering the Ravens. He's been there for a few years, and I asked him about that, and he said communication's been a bit of an issue with them because they put a new defensive coordinator and some new parts and communication. So that's obviously something that the Ravens will want to button up, but I think that there's going to be some opportunity. Look, weather obviously is going to be a factor here, but maybe not as much of a factor as we thought, guys. Weather, it looks like it might be a little drier than we thought. I've been monitoring the rain. It was like 70% chance. Hammer said yesterday that you're looking at probably a steady rain throughout, but things can change because of the system. Things have changed for the better, as far as I'm concerned, being on the sidelines, that we're only down to about a 25% chance rain during the game. Does that impact what the Bills want to do on offense and maybe taking some shots downfield?
Sal, because I heard you mention it earlier this week of like how oftentimes like in Baltimore, it's typically a wet, rainy affair, or at least just like drizzly and the conditions aren't always going to be great. So to hear that kind of thing does warm my heart a little bit that we might actually see the Bills be able to put a little bit more balance into it if the weather allows that to happen here. And also, just being on the sidelines, it probably would feel good to see a game in Baltimore where it's not dreary and rainy the whole time.
Yeah, listen, remember in 2018, Josh's rookie year, it was pouring, right? The whole game, Peterman game. That was just a miserable game for many reasons all around. Peterman started, Josh came in. And then a couple years ago in Baltimore, when the Bills won in Baltimore, and it was raining pretty much throughout the game, the Bills came back in the fourth quarter, had a comeback, they wound up winning. However, we did have a really, really nice day in 2016. The Bills lost. It was a closer game. Tyrod Taylor, starting quarterback, was the opening game of the season. Remember, the Bills played in Baltimore 2 out of 3 years to open the season. That was a beautiful day in Baltimore. So it hasn't always been like that every time. And here we go with a night game. It's going to be a really, really fun atmosphere. They're wearing their all-black jerseys. They're calling it Darkness Falls. They're going to be honoring some Olympians and Mark Ingram, and they want people in the seats by 8 p.m. So it's going to be a raucous crowd, tough environment. They're very, very good in prime time, the Ravens are, but so are the Bills. They've done a really good job in prime time, so this should be a really fun game.
Sal, of course, you are everywhere these days. You are doing things with Buffalo Kickoff Live. It's always game day in Buffalo. Of course, everything that you do here with the Extra Point Show and the guest hits here. So hopefully your flight, take a few moments, kick back, and I appreciate you taking the time to be able to join us here for a segment today.
No, you got it, man. I mean, I'll relax. I'll watch a little college football. Shouldn't be too long of a flight, and then hang out a little bit tonight and enjoy some college football before a long day tomorrow before the game.
All right, Sal, we'll look forward to hearing from you for Bills and Ravens pregame starting at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. You know he's everywhere at Sal Sports on Twitter as well.
Yeah, that flight to Baltimore is nice. I've done it a few times. Mm-hmm. It's a nice 45 up and down. That's all it is, you know? Not a lot of action, which is nice.
There you go.
You hit your cruising altitude before you know it, they're letting you know you're going on down. So
hey, there you go. Mm-hmm. It's a nice quick flight there. And again, I know Sal is going 100%. More than he's 110% during the football season.
Oh yeah,
so, whew, to tap into the reserves like that's got to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Bills Ravens We'll talk more about that. And we'll talk more about the Bills themselves, about how they've been really able to put bad teams in their place, too. Another usual sign that they're just back to normal, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about plenty of that stuff. Nonsense segment, though, coming up first. Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, Evans on the board here. You're listening to WGR. Oh, this slaps, baby. This slaps so hard. So, why is the original Pokemon Red and Blue intro playing on your airwaves right now? Because 26 years ago to this day, keep that up, Evan, keep that up. On 26 years ago to this day, I became one of the dorkiest kids alive because it was the United States release of Pokemon Red and Blue here in this country and the beginning of the end for many nerds everywhere. So, I decided we should have some fun here today with a little bit of a Pokemon segment to break it up a little bit. Why not? That would be peak me, right?
Yeah.
So, Evan, I know you have some answers for this. I'm getting two answers out of you for this. Ready? Your favorite Pokemon and your first starter.
My first starter was Swampert, but my first game was Ruby Sapphire.
So you like Mudkips?
Well, I actually
Do you has Mudkip?
I actually like Blaziken. That is my favorite all time.
Yep.
Out of Generation 1, there's so many good ones, but I'm trying to think of this while like trying to be quick about it. I always like Hitmonchan.
Yes.
I always liked a good fighting type Pokemon.
All right, I like that. I'm a Hitmonlee guy myself with those two, but
they're
I respect it.
You know, the two that you can get in the game, they're not bad.
All right, so the other fascinating side of this is that Joe has never played Pokemon.
No.
Oh my
gosh. Do you know of the first three Pokemon? The first three starters, I should say.
Is it the ones in Smash Brothers?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so.
Yeah,
I'm going to Stephen A. Smith you real quick.
Okay.
Because he had this question hilariously on his podcast the one time.
Oh, yeah. That was
You're
great.
You're going to pick one of these three starters.
Okay. Oh, God. And what do I have to do with them?
Well, just which one would you want?
The one with the fire on the tail.
All right.
Charmander.
There you go. He said it better than Stephen A. did. Stephen A. hilariously calling him Charmander.
Stephen A. Smith sometimes on the
But, he's great. He's great with that segment there.
Yeah.
For me,
when he did the Cars MVP debate, he's great on that kind of stuff.
And that's why someone posed that question to him and said, which one are you picking?
Yeah.
and he goes, I'm going with Charmander.
Oh my God.
It was great. I loved it.
That is funny.
I mean, he did say, could Mewtwo guard LeBron one-on-one?
And the answer is absolutely yes.
I feel like, with the knees and everything.
He'll just use his mind to
Oh, I was thinking.
But also, that tail will swat on any ball. He can do it normal.
Well, that's also, his psychic powers are literally going to just make
LeBron. Yes, but Mewtwo's also 7 feet, has that long tail, too.
Right.
He can do it normally. He doesn't need his psychic abilities.
I feel so out of the loop.
When
I might
it comes
have to, check
to Gen 1, I never played Red and Blue. I played Leaf Green and Fire Red.
Yes. So, the original games, that's what this track is here. The starter for me was Squirtle. Get me that water type right away. And oddly enough, one of my favorite Pokemon came from the Blue exclusive version.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents made a faux pas. They had my brother and I sharing the same cartridge for a Pokemon game.
Oh.
There is only one save spot.
Mm-hmm.
So constantly we would be putting ourselves into fisticuffs because the other restarted the game.
Oh, yeah.
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 You cannot work together on this.
That
so
was
eventually,
like my PlayStation 2 with the memory
card. So eventually, he gets red, I get blue, and they have version exclusives.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon that you can only catch in one version that you can't catch in the other. So you have to trade with each other
Is
to get
the
them
same
all.
Same game?
Yes.
But it's just...
Some were held out so that you have to trade with other people. It's a great marketing strategy.
And it's also what makes a certain game kind of special in a little bit way.
And that is how Sandrew became my favorite. It was because he was a blue exclusive. You can only get him in that version of the game. Or you trade with someone that had blue.
So
it was such a great strategy because...
They wanted you to trade it like the cards.
Yes, mm-hmm. But also it was a great strategy because then that made people have to buy different versions of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was so smart.
Yeah.
All right.
Do they still do that?
Yes and no. They do still have the two variations of each game that releases.
Uh-huh. But it might not be as exclusive or something like that?
Now you could just get them from in so many different ways.
It's also a lot easier to trade now with the internet compared to back when... Like, you started off with
the link cable, baby.
I can recall using the link cable.
The
on
link
the,
cable.
On
Game Boy Advance?
Yeah, the Game Boy Advance. Yep. I think I had the SP. That was my game.
Yep. It was a link cable. It was maybe I'd call it a foot long cable. So you had to get close to your buddies.
Mm-hmm.
You could trade or you could fight with each other.
Yeah.
The amount of deviousness there was in the trading department.
Yeah. No, I can imagine.
Next level, man.
Yeah.
Because we're all kids.
That's cool. It's like I remember those Bakugans, trading those, the ones that popped open on the magnets. You know what I'm talking about?
Kind of.
The bus
spinny
was
tops?
Wild.
Yeah.
Those are the Beyblades, right?
I don't know what the heck Bakugan is, but
they're little balls, right?
I just think of the anime when it comes to Bakugan.
Yeah, you put them on any metal and they open up into they're like Transformers, mini Transformers.
Okay.
So those would just be traded around.
Yeah.
I remember parents would be so frustrated.
That was the cards back in the day with Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
If you had that shiny Charizard, that holographic Charizard card, you were a god amongst kids.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get to a break. Come back. Let's get some more ball in here. And also go around the league as we do.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, in last hour of Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, Joe Cayley, Evan's on the board. You're listening to WGR.
Not just yet.
Oh.
I do have one thing I do want to do. Evan, hit it. Go show
it. It's your birthday. You planned this with him?
Yeah. All right, bring it down. Bring it down.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if it's the clean one or not, but we got to stop before it gets to a certain
Good
point.
Good call.
Yeah, but... happy birth. Glad you were born. Glad I'm sitting here with you on Saturdays.
I appreciate that.
Yes, happy
birthday,
Derek.
And it makes so much sense that I share a birthday with Pokemon releasing in North America.
Yes, it does. It all
came together.
Total dork. Now you can go to break, though.
All right, now
we had to get that in there.
Now we can go to break.